And Taylor Branch in our studio. Many of you remember him as Lyle Alzado's teammate. Played for the Oakland Raiders for years. You look great. What's your time in the 40 now? How are you?
8.5 seconds.
Not too bad. Not too bad. You are the author of the Clinton Tapes, Wrestling History with the President. Why Wrestling History with the President?
Because Bill Clinton seemed to be wrestling history from the very moment we got there. He picked me up saying, I knew you, you're a historian, I liked your Martin Luther King books.
Right.
Will you help me record history, because I don't think that we understand what our presidents are doing.
And this was in the beginning. I mean, you were there from the get-go.
Right. I hadn't seen him in 20 years.
You knew him prior to that.
I knew him prior to that. We had worked in the McGovern campaign in Texas, where we got shellacked. I didn't see him for 20 years. I got sent for when he was president-elect. In a giant scrum at Catherine Graham's house of famous people, and I was wondering why I was there, he parked two Secret Service agents, said in front of me with a sea of people trying to get at him, said, I've only got a second. First of all, can you believe all this? Your buddy is president-elect.
How about that?
And secondly, that he had read the footnotes in my Martin Luther King series from presidential libraries, and he wanted to have that kind of material available 50 years from now. What can I do to make sure that the history is fair? And I was amazed that he was thinking about that.
Wow.
And out of that came, at his initiative, this plan to record a secret oral history over all 8 years.
So for 8 years, you met him about every month or so. What was it, 79 meetings?
79 meetings, late at night in the residence. He was trying to keep it secret, mostly from his staff, because he said they'll leak it really quickly, and if they did, that it would die. So I would go down in my truck. I'd get a call, because I was working on Martin Luther King, and I would drive from Baltimore, where I live, down to Washington, get cleared up into the residence, and never knew what was going to happen. Sometimes he'd be at war and a council couldn't meet. One time they said he'd gone to sleep in the barber's chair and nobody could wake him up. Could I help wake him up? But I would go up and record late at night.
How did you guys keep that a secret?
I am so proud of the fact that we did. There are people gnashing their teeth in Washington. Part of it was because I wasn't living in Washington, and part of it was because I was so consumed with writing about Martin Luther King.
Part of it because you weren't a good-looking young woman, that's why.
Yeah, you said that's a pretty good accent.
Yeah. You know, we were just a minute ago. Did you hear discussing your book in reverse? You were in the Comcast screen room,
yeah.
And I was talking about your book, and I said, you know, it's funny because the beginning, you say, so this Lewinsky, this Whitewater thing, whatever, it was a trifle. And the last chapters are about Lewinsky and the impeachment and so forth. So just real quick, humor me. Work me backwards. I know the guy got impeached. I know it was because he lied about what the Lewinsky thing was. How did I get to Lewinsky?
It got to Lewinsky
from Linda Tripp.
Because over 5 years of Whitewater, they broke down all of the inhibitions about what a president could be questioned about till the Supreme Court ruled 8-0 that the Paula Jones case could go forward and that he could be deposed about his sex life under oath.
But he got that call, remember? He was on vacation or somewhere, or he was, where was he? And he gets a call and somebody's yelling at him saying that the judge would not accept, I thought, Paula Jones' testimony and that he would have been insulated. But by now, the Lewinsky thing had taken off.
The judge threw out the Paula Jones case,
right,
saying that it had no merit, even if her facts were true. But by that time, according to the Supreme Court, they had already taken depositions from him in the Paula Jones case. And that's where they asked him about Monica Lewinsky, and they got them both actually to deny, because Lewinsky denied under oath that they'd had an affair. He denied it, and so they had him under oath, and then it broke in the Washington Post.
Okay, so there you connect Lewinsky to Paula Jones. Her name surfaces in the questioning of Paula Jones. And how do I get to Paula Jones on this?
Paula Jones is kind of an independent outrider paralleling all of the Whitewater cases. But as soon as there was a deposition in the Paula Jones case, her lawyers were working with Kenneth Starr and the Whitewater lawyers, and instantly he got his jurisdiction expanded to include possible perjury in the Paula Jones case.
I was here
for all
this. It's
pretty bizarre.
I can't believe I don't remember this, but I mean, there was a separate parallel investigation going on with his relationship with Paula Jones.
Right.
And that was concurrent with the Whitewater investigation.
Concurrent with Whitewater, which morphed into all kinds of things. Travelgate, Filegate, Vince Foster.
Right. So then what do you make of this? I mean, so shame on him. And let's not even talk about how stupid this is. But we go from that to his impeachment over his affair with the intern. What do you make of that? What lesson has history taught us about all of this?
Well, first of all, that he threw away his chance to help lift the pale of cynicism that's been in this country because he handed a weapon, he handed a sword to his enemies.
Would he agree with that assessment?
Yes, that's what he said.
He knows that. He knows that history is going to remember him as having failed this great opportunity to lift the veil of cynicism over our politicians.
That we had 8 years of tabloid stuff over nothing.
He's made the blanket thicker. Yeah. I mean, we distrust our politicians even more because of Bill Clinton, don't you think?
Well, it's been going on for a long time, and of course, the thing about it is, he said that he felt that it was it's unwarranted. This is one reason he's wrestling history. He says that from our childhood, having grown up in the South, that politics actually worked some miracles. We got rid of segregation. We liberated the white South. We liberated women
because of politics.
Because of politics.
What were the political accomplishments of Bill Clinton? In his eight years.
They look pretty darn good right now.
What did he do?
4.2% unemployment. He wiped out a deficit.
Those are political accomplishments?
That, of course, that's a political accomplishment.
Okay. Well, it seems to me like he was the beneficiary of the dot-coms and the economy may have been that robust were he even a Republican. That's possible.
He got Democrats unanimously to walk the plank for his Budget Reconciliation Act, which raised taxes on some rich people and cut the budget and put us on a path to balance the budget for the first time in 30 years, which nobody thought was possible. And they even paid off $600 billion of the national debt. The economy was on a path to pay off the national debt by next year when he left office. Instead, we've doubled it, and we have a $1.4 trillion annual deficit.
How else favorably should we remember Bill Clinton?
He pursued peace initiatives all around the world, some of which succeeded. Northern Ireland, famously, the peace treaty with Jordan in the Middle East.
He would get animated talking about Northern Ireland. We don't even think about that anymore, but that was a very important subject to him, wasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. It was one of his most euphoric sessions that we had.
Yeah, I remember that.
He said, you live to live only a few days, to have only a few days, like his trip through Northern Ireland trying to promote it, even though he was threatened there by a number of the hardline Protestants. And peace in Bosnia, in Kosovo, and even Haiti, where he restored the elected president and it didn't work out. Haiti is still a beleaguered and benighted 2 centuries of tyranny. But he kept the balance between the military and the potential and the political possibilities pretty well. There were zero casualties in Haiti, zero in Kosovo, very few in Bosnia, which succeeded.
Let's go back to the construction of the book, The Clinton Tapes, Wrestling History with the President. Taylor Branch is here, and he's a longtime friend of President Clinton's who secretly recorded conversations between the two of them over the course of his 8 years. Sometimes Clinton was more inclined to talk than others. Sometimes they'd get canceled. But you were talking to him through the Lewinsky affair, not as often, and the impeachment for that matter. So what would it be like? You said he'd call you up, you'd go into the kitchen, and you guys would sit down. How long would you talk?
We would talk typically between an hour and a half and 3 hours, depending on how he felt.
And who would set that agenda? Would you say, here's what we need to talk about, or would he say, no, here's what I want you to record?
I would have had a list of things that had happened since our last session, and I would try to order them, and I would start talking, and I was fishing for stories in which he wanted to put secrets on the record, things that were not otherwise on the record. Sometimes he'd say, look, I don't have much to add what's in the New York Times. Other times he would say, that has no relationship to what happened. Let me tell you what really happened. And sometimes he would say, you didn't ask me about something that wasn't on the record, and he'd start going off on his own.
You could have made news every day. I mean, you could have set the record straight. You could have called the New York Times. You could have called WGN Radio and said, hey, boy, do I got a scoop for you. Was it killing you sometimes to have those secrets and never able to sort of scratch that itch?
Absolutely. I felt like I was on another planet, too, because I saw him so many times under siege for things that he believed in. For example, gun control, the Brady Bill, the assault weapons ban. And yet the mantra in the press of that era was that he was a finger-in-the-wind Bubba politician who didn't believe in anything and was just waiting for the consultants to tell him what to do.
He was waiting for the public opinion polls to tell him what his take on things should be. You're saying that his opinion preceded those, that he had greater conviction than we knew?
Oh, much, much greater. And it was a surprise to me because I shared that cynicism about him.